Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Shavuos, Daf Lamed Aleph. We will begin on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, the second white line. It says the Gemara, Rav Yemer have yad le'sedusa l'mazutra. Rav Yemer was able to say testimony on behalf of Mazutra. Asla kamei da meimer, and the dentira took place in front of a meimer, in a meimer's bezdin. And because of the respect for Rav Yemer, some Rishonim say also for respect of Mazutra, Asuna Lakula. Even though we learned in the previous shir how certainly Edim must stand when they say testimony, but out of respect for Rav Yemer, a Meimer said to Rav Yemer to sit. Amle Rav Ashi LaMeimer. So Rav Ashi asked the Meimer, V'Alma Ula, then we learned in our previous shir, Machlekes V'Baladinim. There's a machlekes regarding the litigants, if and when they must stand. Al the Edim, when it comes to testimony of the Edim, the Behakadami, everybody's in agreement that they have to say their testimony standing. So how come you allowed him to sit? Amalei, so he responded, Hai essay, v'hai essay. This is an essay, the mitzvah of standing, and this is a mitzvah, the mitzvah of giving cover to Torah. Is also Mrs. Asay, and therefore I say the Kavod HaTorah Adif, and that's why I'm going to allow him to sit, because of Kavod HaTorah. So the Rishonim, the Achronim, all discuss at great length that even though we have a concept in many places in Halacha that under certain circumstances a mitzvah should be fulfilled, even if it means another mitzvah will be pushed away, but if you're not obligated to fulfill the mitzvah, we don't say that concept. So since a Talmud Chacham has a right to be moichel on his kavod, so why are we saying that Esed the Kavod HaTorah is so important, and therefore we tell him to sit, even though an Eid is supposed to stand, let the Talmud Chacham just be moichel on his kavod. So there are many truths given to this question. One truth given is the entire obligation, we discussed this briefly in the previous year, of Eidim standing is not really such a strong obligation. So in a place of Kavod HaTorah, we don't insist on it. Another teretz is that even though indeed a Talmud Chacham has a right to be moichel on his kavod, but he has no right to be embarrassed. And for a Talmud Chacham standing and everybody else sitting, it's not just a lack of kavod, it's a bezayin. And a bezayin Talmud Chacham is not supposed to take. Another teretz that the Michas Chinuch says, that this is an essay choshev, these are the words of the Michas Chinuch. An essay choshev, and for an essay choshev, we don't, even though it could be sidestepped, we don't want it to be pushed away. And then I saw another interesting teretz. Yes, there is a concern of Talmud Chacham's kavod, and we're suggesting that the Talmud Chacham should be moichel on his kavod. Why does the eid stand? Because of kavod for the bezdin. So just like we could ask the Talmud Chacham to be moichel on his kavod, we could ask the bezdin to be moichel on the kavod. And let Bezdin be Meichel on the Kavod and let the Talmud Chacham sit. Or, along the same line, let the two litigants be Meichel on the whole entire. And then Talmud Chacham won't have to come to say Eidus altogether. So we shouldn't demand that the Talmud Chacham should be Meichel. If we're demanding that people be Meichel, let the parties be Meichel. Simonson, Nagirin Barg, Zeilus Mirma. We begin now a somewhat lengthy piece of Gemara. Nice piece of Gemara. All pieces of Gemara are nice. The Pasuk says, Mitzvah Sheket Tirchak. As the Mefarshim point out, the Torah should have said, Mishaket Tirchak. What does the Torah say? Mitzvah Sheket Tirchak. It's coming to teach us that not only is lying Asur, but even anything close to being dishonest is Asur. But interesting to point out, the Marsha says that even though, as we're going to learn our Gemara, we have to be so careful to be so scrupulously honest. On the other hand, the Torah doesn't say mitvah sheket tivrach. The Pasuk says mitvah sheket tirchak. Not run away, but tirchak, move away. You should always have to use intelligence what the right thing and the wrong thing to do is. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out that our Gemara is going to give 13 limudim from the Pasuk of mitvah sheket tirchak. The word emes, which is obviously the opposite of sheker, from Aleph to Mem are 13 letters, And from Mem to Safta, 13 letters, if we look at these end letters too, to, as a remez to the 13 halachas we're about to learn. Simas Sinegrin Bar Gzeil Smirma. Turn our bottom. Menayim Dain Shloyasa Sinegrin Ludvarov. How do we know, and there's Machlok showing what this means. Rashi says, a Dayan sometimes issues a psak, and then he realizes that he made an error. It's hard for people to admit that they made a mistake. How do we know that a Dayan should not do that? And if he recognizes that he made an error, he should say so. That's one pshat in the Rishonim, Rashi's pshat. Other Rishonim learn that a Dayan has to be very careful what he says to the parties attending at the dentaira. Because if he says something just to compliment one of the parties, that could cause the other party to get disoriented. Furthermore, he should be careful that Talmidim, as we learned many times, would sit in front of the Dayanim, make sure who is the Talmud sitting in front of the Dayan. There's a concern that the Talmud may cause, the Talmud who isn't, could cause the Dayan to make a mistake. We have a Dayan who's aware that his colleague is a Gazlan. He knows about his colleague that's coming to say Eidus with him that he's a Gazlan. How do we know they shouldn't join with him? So Rishonim and Achronim point out here regarding Medayin L'dayin Shidei L'chaveru Shu Gazlan is referring to a situation where he knows his chaver is a Gazlan for sure. Furthermore, Medayin can eat Shidei B'chaveru Shu Gazlan. So the Tumim says that if, what does it mean that he's a Gazlan? It means for sure that he was been disqualified from by Besdin to be an aid. Let me explain what I mean. So a very interesting question. You're at a wedding and you get the kibbutz of being an aidist by the wedding. So you're one of the aidim and someone else is called up to be the other aid. And you know that that other person is not so ayayay. So the question is, Al Gemara says, you have to be careful who you associate with. So the question is, should you go up or not? Should you go up to be an aid or not? So according to the Tumim, no problem. Unless Besdin has officially disqualified this other individual from being an aid, he isn't possible. I did, however, see other Paiskim that say that if you for sure know that this other individual is not an honest individual, the fact that Besdin hasn't officially disqualified doesn't give you a right to associate with him. The Shach asks Akasha. Shach asks, if I know testimony that you owe somebody else whatever, and there's another person who I know is indeed maybe a Gazlan, and again, the Tumim's Gazlan, that he's been disqualified, but I happen to know he's saying the truth, because I know that Reuven owes Shimon $100, so why can't I allow myself to be an aid together with him? Shach's kasha. So the Shach answers that there are really two ways of explaining the Shach. It really says the same. The halach is, we learned many times, the Pasuk says, api shnei edim, shloisha edim yokum davar. The Gemara says that if you have a whole group of edim, and one of them is disqualified, it disqualifies the entire group. So the fact that this other person who I'm saying edis with happens to be saying the truth, doesn't change the reality that he's apostle aid, because the Torah said he's apostle, and therefore I shouldn't be part of a group with him. Along the same lines, there are certain acts in halacha that to be considered valid acts need aidim. The best example is kedushin. For kedushin to be considered a valid kedushin, you need two aidim, two kosher aidim. So even though, yes, we're both standing under the chuppah and we're watching the wedding and we're watching everything, he's apostle aid and he can make the kedushin into a valid kedushin. Menayin l'dayin, continues the Gemara, shidei b'din shumaruma, that he knows that this dentara is not an honest dentara. Shloyoymer, he shouldn't say, however, edim, since we have edim here anyway, echtena, I will pass it according to what I hear. And if they lied, it'll be their responsibility. However, the Rishonim point out that this is only in a situation where I think that the Toveya is going, where the Nitva is wrong. If the Nitva is wrong, I should just walk away. But in a case where I think the Toveya is wrong, so there, no, just opposite. In a case where the Toveya is wrong, I should just walk away. But in a case where the Nitva is wrong, the Nitva may be holding somebody else's money, it's not so easy to walk away from it entirely. Simon Tosa Talmud, V'Talas Balichoyev Smarta Chimei Matam. Continues the Gemara. Menayel Talmud Shiyosh Lefnei Rabbi. A Talmud sitting by his Rebbe, V'Royes Chus L'Oni. And he sees that the Rebbe is on the wrong track. And he could be saying Chus for an Oni, or Choyev L'Oshir. That the, he's just the opposite of what his Rebbe is doing. Menayel Shla Yishtuk. How do we know they shouldn't remain silent? Tameloimer B'Dvash HaKetirchak. Interesting, most Paiskim say it's not specifically the case that the Gemara is referring to. It could be the opposite too. Where he sees Chayv La'ani, Uschus La'ashir, it's the same. The Taz, very interesting Taz, says no. That in a case where it's Chayv La'ani, he doesn't have to say anything. If it's Chayv La'ani, if he sees that his Rebbe is on the wrong track, and he's saying Schus L'Ani, where really it should be Chayv L'Ani, the Taz says he doesn't have to say anything. Very bechidish. He said it's connected to the din of Loseda Berivai. Loseda Evyan Berivai. And what? That continues the Gemara. Menayin L'Tam Shiroi Rabba Toy B'Din. He sees his Rebbe passing on the wrong track. Shlo Yomer Amtan L'Yat Shiyag Merenu. Let him finish saying what he wants to say. Vestereno, and then I'll come and prove him wrong. Vestereno, and I'll say the right psak. Kidei shik dena shmi. So I'll get a lot of glory and fame. Tamalay medvash shakaterchak. Menayim l'tam shomer le'rabbi yodei atabi. You know me. And he says, you know me, shem enoisli meyem mona. Somebody were to give me all the money in the world. Aini mevada. I would never say a lie. Money yesh le'etz aploni. Somebody owes me money. However, I only can find one aid to prove that that person owes me the money. So the Rebbe shouldn't ask the Talmud, I'm not asking you to lie. I'm just asking you to stand there. To make, the way most Mepharshim explain, to make it look like there are two aidim. Why? Because let's say I'm coming to you and I say you owe me money. So as long as I don't bring aidim, or I only bring one aid, you're pretty confident. But once I bring two aidim, you start being concerned. So by me bringing an aid and then having my Talmud standing right next to the aid, you're going to start thinking that I have two aidim to back up my case. And that's going to put you off. And that isn't honest. That's the way most Mepharshim learn. Another way the Mepharshim learn is like this. It's along the same lines. If I only have one aid, so what's likely to happen? We're going to make a compromise. But if I have two aidim, then I'm going to be less likely to be willing to compromise. How do we know that we shouldn't set up a situation of avoiding a compromise? So I saw the Paiskim use this Gemara to teach another interesting halacha. Let's say I have a house, an apartment, that I rent out. And I want to sell that apartment, that house. And the tenant, and the halacha is that the tenant has the first right of refusal. So the tenant offered me a price. So I want to jack up, I want to get more. So what I do? I go to somebody, go to a friend, ask them, do me a favor. I know you're not interested in buying my house. But I want you to come and make it look like you're looking to buy the house. Which will get the tenant concerned that maybe somebody else wants to buy the house. And then he'll give me a better offer. But it's not honest. Because that person has no interest at all to buy the house. It's just there to put pressure on someone else. It's the same Gemara as here. You're not allowed to create a dishonest pressure. That doesn't mean everybody who comes to look at the house has to buy it, or even offer a bid. But he has to be at least interested in buying. Continues the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Haimidvar Sheker, nafka? Hamid vashak terechik nafka? Favadi shikurim shakra. Isn't this a situation where the other person is going to say a lie? And that is asr because Rechman amalai sanu berecha et shakar. So the Gemara, like we learned, al kagayim do amalai vadi dechad sadi isli. I only have one aid. V'ta ata kum hasam. You just stand there. V'latem alay midah. I'm not asking you to say anything. V'lay mafkas mepof mashakra. You're not going to utter a word of lie. V'lach asr mashem nam shakar terechik. Continues the Gemara. An interesting shaila before we go further is another, again, the question is what is considered a lie? We know, we learned the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, that let's say we have three dayanim in the entire. We have three dayanim in the entire, and we follow the majority. Let's say one of the dayanim doesn't know what to paskin. He just doesn't know what to say. So we add two more dayanim to the Bezdin. So what would be the halacha that I feel one way, but I see things aren't going in my direction? Let's say with three dayanim, I think like one way, the majority of the other two dayanim are disagreeing. So we take it to a vote, I lose. We follow the rife. So perhaps what I could do is say, I don't know what to say, with the hope that there'll be two new dayanim added to the Bezdin, and those two dayanim may think like me, and therefore my way of thinking will prevail. So on one hand, my goal is to get to the truth. But on the other hand, I said something that's not true. Because I said I don't know. I do know. Says the Gemara, that's considered in the category of say the Paiskim, that's considered in Dvash Sheket Terechak. To say you don't know, when you really do know, is Dvash Sheket Terechak. I, the Psak, is going to come out according to your thinking wrong. That's God's business. Continues the Gemara. How do we know that if somebody asks, is claiming somebody else owes him money? Shloyama, he shouldn't say, at none of them a sign. I say you owe me $100. So what I'll think is, I'll really say you owe me $200. What is my goal? Kidoy shiyoy de libe mona, in order that you should admit that you owe me $100. Yischayev li shvua, v'gagol li shvua memakam echer. Which means as follows. I have really two cases with you. One case is that I say you owe me $100, and you agree that you owe me $100. And then we have another din Torah, we have another subject that we have a sechsech on. There are two halachas that we've learned. One halacha is the halacha of moedim miktzas. That if I say you owe me $200 and you admit that you owe me $100, the Torah says, ki hu zeh, you have to make a shvu d'oraisa. But there's another halacha called gilgul shvua. Gilgul shvua says that once you have to swear, then all my other claims I have against you, you're going to have to swear on. So here, the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is as follows. I say you owe me $100, and you admit you owe me $100. Now we have another case that we don't have agreement on. I can't get you to swear on it. So I come up with the following idea. I'm going to say you owe me $200. You're going to be an honest person, you're going to say $100. You're going to have to swear because you're moedim miktzas. And once you have to swear because you're moedim miktzas, I'll get you to swear in the other case. How do I know that I'm not allowed to do that? Because I know you don't owe me $200. Astach some cipher, obvious question. Why don't I just make the two cases into one case? In other words, how did I describe the entire case of the Gemara? In the first case, there's total agreement. In the second case, we have a dispute. Why don't we just mix the two cases together, and there won't be total agreement, and it'll be moedim miktzas. Says the Chassam Sofer, not every two cases can be combined. Yes, says the Chassam Sofer. If we have two separate cases that both refer to halva, where one case I say I lent you $100 and you agree that you borrowed $100, and then there's another case where I say I lent you money and you disagree. Those two cases can indeed be combined, says the Chassam Sofer, to create one situation of moedim miktzas. However, let's say one din Torah that we have between each other is regarding a halva. And there's agreement, as I've been describing. And the other din Torah is regarding a pikadon. You can't combine a din Torah of a halva and pikadon because it's apples and oranges. Continues the Gemara. Menayin l'nash b'chaver mona. Let's say I say you owe me $100. V'tana m'sayim. And I say you owe me you agree you owe me $100, but I said you owe me $200. So what you say is Shloyaimer, what you're going to think is, if I admit, I'm saying you owe me $200, and you say I only owe you $100. So you think to yourself, if I admit to the $100, what's going to happen? It's going to be a mitzvah mixus. Shloyaimer. So what you think is, Echbrenim Bebezin, I'm going to deny the entire claim, so I shouldn't have to swear, but I'm still an honest individual. But outside of Bezin, I'll give him the $100 that I agreed that I owe. Because what I want is not to have to swear. So the way Tysus explains this Gemara is as follows. Tysus says, what happened here is as follows. I'm saying you owe me $200 and you admit to $100. So why don't you want to swear? It's the truth. I gilgal shvua. Man of Shach, Tysus asks, if you owe me the money, pay. And if you don't owe the money, so why are you bothering? Why don't you want to swear? So Tysus describes the scenario of this Gemara as follows. We have two things happening here. I say you owe me $200. There's one case where I say you owe me $200, and you admit that you owe $100. Then there's another issue going on between us, where I say you owe me another, let's say, $500, and you really know that you owe me the $500. But you don't want to, you don't have the funds to pay it. So if I make you swear, you're going to have to admit that you owe the money. And once you admit and swear you owe the money, Bezin is going to force you to pay, or they're going to foreclose on your property, whatever. So you want to avoid that situation. And therefore, you're going to have to admit to the truth, to the claim that I make to you. Kamashmal, you're never allowed to say a lie, but Vasha Katerchak. Continues the Gemara. Three individuals are claiming that one person owes them money. So what they want to do here is, they split up. What happens like this, the three of us say that you owe us money, but we don't have Edom. So what we'll do here is, one of us will say I have a claim, the other two people won't have a claim, they'll serve as Edom, and then we'll be able to collect the money and divide it amongst ourselves. However, point out to Rishonim, that's only in a situation, the Rishonim point out, where indeed that is the case, that the three of us are owed the money together, so we can't be dishonest with two of us being Edom and one of us being the claimant. But what will be the Havalacha if the two of us give over our share to you completely? And if you collect $100, it's all yours. Then they're allowed to be Edom. However, point out to Rishonim, that we have to be honest and notify the person who we're taking the money from that we've given over our share completely to you. Furthermore, I saw machlokes achrayim. What would be our luck if we didn't do what we were supposed to do? That means our Gemara says that the three of us are all creditors. We can't serve as Edom and being creditors at the same time. But let's say we violated what the Gemara said, and one of us act as the claimant and two of us act as Edom, and then you pay. And then we say the truth that we're all claimants. Do we have to give back the money or not? It's machlokes achrayim. Continues the money. Gemara. Menayin l'shtem shabal adin. How do we know if two people come to din Torah? Echad lovish smatutim. One is wearing rags. Vechad lovish itzlis basmei mona. And the other one is wearing an expensive suit. Shomer loy lovish k'maisai. You wear clothing like him. Or he'll b'shiu k'maischa. Or you should dress like him. So Ben Yoyada points out a number of points. He says, usually what's going to happen is, Ech lovis matutim, the one wearing the rags, is the toveya, because he never needs the money. And the nitva, who is wearing the nice clothing. And the toveya says to the nitva, pay up. What is better, asked the Ben Yoyada? Should we make them wear both rags, or should we make them both wear nice clothing? So the Gemara says, look at the Gemara, says the Ben Yoyada. The Gemara says, what we should rather do is, you, the person wearing the nice clothing, should put on the rags. Not the person wearing the rags should put on the nice clothing. Why? So Ben Yoyada explains, because if they're both going to be wearing nice suits, but one is a poor person and one is the rich person with a nice suit is still better off than the poor person with a nice suit. There's also Machlokes Rishonim, the Rambam of the Torah, if this halacha still applies nowadays. Because in the times of Chazal, there was really a very big difference between the way wealthy people and poor people dressed. Nowadays, the difference is not that pronounced, and therefore the Paiskim are not that concerned about it. Says the Gemara, Kava Asa Kamei Derava Baruch Huna. If two, and this is a perfect example, when two litigants came to Rava for the Rava Baruch Huna for the entire, Amalu Shlufa Pizmaichu Vachusul Adina. One litigant was able to afford shoes, and the other one couldn't even wear shoes. So he told the person who wasn't wearing shoes, who was wearing shoes, take off your shoes, that you should look the same. Continues the Gemara. Menayin Ladan Shlo Yishma Dzivrei Baldin. They shouldn't listen to one side. Kad Mishyava Baldin Chaveri. Until the other party also comes. Tamaloymer Vidvash Shekatirchak. So it's a very interesting psak from the Pesachei Tshuva. He speaks to Rabbonim. He says as follows. I have a din Torah with someone else. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to send a shayla to Paisik. Not as a din Torah. If this were the scenario where there's this following case, how would you paskin the shayla? As a theoretical, as a hypothetical case, what is my goal in doing this? Because then he's going to write me back a tshuva. There's going to be a lot of lumdus in the tshuva with all sorts of arguments. And then I'm going to use everything written in the tshuva for the din Torah that I go to. Says the Pesachei Tshuva that you shouldn't write a tshuva. If you know that you're being, the Rav knows he's being used in that way, he shouldn't write a tshuva until after the din Torah is gepaskin. There's a very famous vart on this Gemara. The only question is who said the vart. I saw it from Rabbi Yonis and Eipschitz. I saw it from the Chart Kvar Rebbe. I saw it from the Rebbe Reb Hershala. And I heard other people heard it from others. Rabbi Yonis and Eipschitz, when he became Bar Mitzvah, the others, when they became Bar Mitzvah, they were already very great people. And the question they were asked is, you're a young child, you're a young boy, you only became Bar Mitzvah, and how are you already so great? So he answered, we know that the Yetzer Hara enters into a person when he gets born. The Yetzer Tov only comes by the Bar Mitzvah. So he answered, every time till I was Bar Mitzvah, and the Yetzer Hara came and tried to convince me to do an Aveira, I told him this Gemara. The Gemara says, Menayim l'dan shleish medivri baldin, kadim sheva baldin chaveri. You, the Yetzer Hara, can't talk to me because you don't have your opponent, the Yetzer Tov, here. So I have nothing to listen to you. And that's why I was able to avoid doing averis till my Bar Mitzvah. Lev Eliyahu, on a little more serious note, the Miftav Eliyahu, but Eliyahu Deskler says this Gemara is a tremendous lesson in life. He says, what does this Gemara teach us? This Gemara teaches us how careful we have to be to avoid getting bad habits, getting bad hashkafas, the wrong hashkafas. So what is our Gemara teaching us? That a dayan is not listening to one party before he hears, without both parties there. Why? Because once you listen to one party, you start thinking that that's the correct way. And once a person, he says, the way the human mind works, is once the mind is convinced that this is the right thing, it's very hard to get the mind to change. It's the hardest thing to get a person to change. And therefore, you have to be very careful not to get into the habit, into the wrong habit, because to break wrong habits becomes difficult. And that's why you die and shouldn't listen to one side without the other side. Of course, on his derech, he says, so what do you do if you have a bad habit? It's already there. He says, you have to learn musr. That's what's going to break the bad habits. Continues the Gemara. He shouldn't give his claims. He should just prepare him. Rav Kahana, on the other hand, the pasuk says, you shouldn't talk without the other party there. What if the pasuk says in Yecheskel that he acted improperly? What does that mean? What does it mean? It means appointing a lawyer. What's so bad about appointing a lawyer? So the Rishonim give a number of explanations. One explanation is that a person who's assigned to a party, who's assigned to a din Torah, will be more likely to agree to make a compromise with his opponent. Lawyers aren't lawyers, at least in times Chazal, lawyers weren't paid to make compromises. Lawyers were paid to win. And therefore, there's less likelihood for compromise. Another pshat is as follows. Usually, two parties in a din Torah are looking for the truth. So if you and I have a din Torah, so you're going to make a claim. If your claim indeed is true, I'll say fine. Again, lawyers are paid to win. They're not paid to say the truth necessarily. And and that's why the Gemara frowns upon lawyers. However, Tosfos does point out that in a case where the Din Torah cannot be settled without lawyers, then you should take a lawyer. Continues the Gemara. Shmuama zalakech sada shesh leisikin, which means as follows. I know that you own a property, that you have a property that there's claims against. And you would have to go to Din Torah to settle the claims. I'm a stronger individual, so I buy this property with the expectation that I'll be able to hold on to it, and the person who has a claim won't be able to come against me. That is wrong. However, the Rishonim here say, what does the Gemara mean? That I shouldn't buy such a property. It means if there's a property that's under dispute, first let the dispute be settled, and then buy the property. But a matana is different, the Rishonim say. Now let's say you own a property that there's a fight over, and you want to give it to me as a gift. A gift is a gift that I could take. Continues the Gemara. And in the Hegas El Barurin Lahayid, we learned that the Mishnah, the Din of Shuas Eidus, only applied to somebody who's worthy to say Eidus. Ask the Gemara Lafuki Mai, who are we trying to exclude? Amar Papi Lafuki Melech. As we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin, a king is disqualified from saying Eidus, so there's no Din of Shuas Eidus by a Melech. Rav Yachva Yakvama Lafuki Masacha Bekuvia. Somebody who's a gambler, who we also learned, is disqualified from being an aid for one of two reasons. Either because of smacht lekanya, the way he comes about the money is not really legally his, or because she'ena oisik b'yeshuva shalaylam, he doesn't have gainful employment. Says the Ramandam, Masach b'kuvya, according to the Ramandam that says Masach b'kuvya is considered a disqualified aid, it's only the Rabbanan. So certainly Koshke Melech would be possible, would not be in the parish of Shuas Eidus, because he, Medoraisa, cannot say Eidus. However, the mandam that says Melech will hold Av Mesach B'Kuvya, Midaraisa Mechsechazi. Midaraisa is qualified. It's just Rabbanu Hudub Saluah, and therefore he is in the parish of Shuas Eidus. We learned the Machloikis in the Mishnah between Ramei and Rabbanan. According to Ramei, Shuas Eidus applies both in Bezdin and outside of Bezdin. The only difference between in Bezdin and outside of Bezdin is that according to Ramei, in Bezdin, you don't have to have that they should make mujbim pi atzmoy. It could even be mujbim pi acherim. Whereas according to Rabbanon, it could apply, it could only be in Bezdin. Bifnei Bezdin, Mishloi Bifnei Bezdin. Ask the Gemara B'maikim Afki, what is the basis of the machloikis between Ramei and Rabbanon? Says the Gemara, Amru Rabbanon Kameid Rapapa, B'dom Mino Mino, B'dom Mino V'uka B'asru Kamefskoi. Many times we have in the Torah where we learn one subject from the other subject. The question is, when we learn one subject from the other subject, do we apply all of the rules in the subject from which we learn from to the subject that we are learning about? And we'll explain ourselves. Ramei Sava Domino Mino. When we learn something from another subject, we apply all of the rules. So the Gemara says as follows. Where do we know that Mujbim Pi Atzmai is considered a Shvuah? We learn from Bikadim. We're going to learn a Mitzvah later in our Masechta. The din of a shvuas b'kadin. What is the din of shvuas b'kadin? That if you come to me and you say I'm holding an item of yours, and I falsely swear that I'm not, and then I admit, I have to bring an isham gzeilus. By b'kadin, mujbim pi atzmai, it doesn't have to be mujbim pi acherim, it's mujbim pi atzmai is also chayiv. Af edus, so we extrapolate, that so too by shvuas edus, mujbim pi atzmai chayiv. Now we go a step further, says Rameya. Umino, if we're learning from b'kadin, we should learn all the way from Bikadin. Ma Bikadin, by a Shavuos Bikadin, a Shavuos Bikadin takes place, Bein Bebezdin, or Bein Shloi Bebezdin, Af Eidus, if we're learning Shavuos Eidus, from Shavuos Bikadin, the Allah will be, the Mujman Pi Atzma is considered a Shavuos Eidus, Bein Bebezdin, or Bein Shloi Bebezdin. That's Ramei's opinion. Rabbanim suggests the Gemara, are of the opinion, Savi Dom Mino Va'uki Ba'asra. If we're learning from Shavuos Bikadin, but then we apply it within the framework of Shuas Eidus. And they will learn as follows. Ma b'kod mujmi pi atzmai chayif. Just like by b'kod and Shuas pi atzmai chayif, so to Eidus mujmi pi atzmai chayif. But now we go a step further. V'uki ba'asra. Ma mujmi pi acherim. By mujmi pi acherim, everybody's agreement, even Ramei agrees, it's the Bezdin in. Only if the Shuas Eidus took place in Bezdin, is it considered Shuas Bezdin. Shloi b'Bezdin loy. So to by Shavuos Eidus, by Mujmi Pi Atzmai, it'll strictly be Bebezdin in, Shalai Bebezdin Lai. Amalur Rapapa. So Rapapa said to Rabbanan, Imi Pkadim Gamrilai, If that's the way we're going to learn, even Padan Gamilei Rabbanan, the Kula Amalai Pligi, everybody will agree, the Dom Mino Omino. If I'm learning the Halacha from Shuvus B'Kadon, then we apply all of the rules of Shuvus B'Kadon. And therefore, just like Shuvus B'Kadon doesn't have to take place in Bezdin, Mujman Pi Atzmai B'Shuvus Eidus won't have to take place in Bezdin, as Ramey is said in the Mishnah. Ella, that's not the reason of the Rabbanan, says Rapapa. Ella Hainu Tam the Rabbanan. The Maisla B'Kal V'Choymer. The reason the Rabbanan say, Na Mujman Pi Atzmai is Chai B'Shuvus Eidus, because they learned the following Kal V'Choymer. Oman B'Pi Acherim Chayiv, if Mujman pi acher mischayiv, vipi atzma lekolshke, as to Rishonim, we have a klal, ein oin shemen adin. So how can we learn from a kavachomer? So one teretz, I've said this teretz the other day, is that regarding the chiv carbon, by shuas eidus the chiv is a chiv carbon, by chiv carbon we don't say the klal of ein oin shemen adin. Another teretz to Rishonim say, is that the Gemara is not to be understood as creating a din through a kavachomer. We can't do that. The Gemara is being megalad. The Torah is teaching the Basel, the Kavachayim comes to teach us that when the Pasuk speaks about Shvuah Sa'edis, it's not speaking strictly about a situation of Mujmer B'Acherim, it's also speaking about Mujmer B'Atzmai. So it's not really Kavachayim, it's more like a Gili Milsa. Umami B'Acherim Achayim, B'Atzmai Lakoshke. And now, we have another rule. Umidim Aislam Kavachayim, Dai Alovim Adin Lis Kanidan. Whenever we learn through a Kavachayim one subject from another subject, we can't make the Talmud any stricter than the Rebbe. Ma Mujman Pi Acherim. And just like by Mujman Pi Acherim, everybody is in agreement. Bebezdin in, Shaloi Bebezdin Loi. If we're learning Mujman Pi Atzmai from Mujman Pi Acherim, Ach Mujman Pi Atzmai, the Halach will be Befnei Bezdin in, Shaloi Bebezdin Loi. Omale Rabbanan Rapapa, ask the Rabbanan to Rapapa, Mi Atzus, Mi Matzus Amrit. Can you be correct in your suggestion? The lab the dami nami na pligi, that the subject has nothing to do with dami nami na. I'll prove to you it does, say the Rabbanan. But tonight, Gabi Bikadin, we learned regarding Bikadin. Later, we're going to learn this in a Masechta. Shuas Bikadin, I have Spanoshim and Oshim. Shuas Bikadin applies by men and women, Bikhakim, Bikroivim, Bikshem, Psulim, Bifnei Bezdin, Vishla Bifnei Bezdin, Mipi Atzmoy, Bnei Acherim, Ein Achayiv. But if it's going to be a Shuas Bikadin, Pi Acherim, the halacha will be ein chayiv ad shikba bebezdin divremeya. According to Remeya, by mujbe pi acherim by shvus bekodin, it has to take place in bezdin. The chum say beim pi atzim beim pi acherim kivin shikafa by chayiv by shvus bekodin. The rabbanan, unlike by shvus aedis, are more machmer than Remeya. They are shvus bekodin always could take place even outside of bezdin. So what is the Gemara's, what is the Machlokes about? V'chomerim b'im b'pi atzmen b'im b'cherim, kivin shekov b'chayiv. Ask the Gemara. Mujmer pi acherim b'kodim nolu l'rabbanan d'chayiv. How do Rabbanan know that Mujmer pi acherim applies by Shavuos b'kodim? Lav, because they learn it from Shavuos Eidus. Now Shavuos Eidus, Mujmer pi acherim by Rabbanan, where does it take place? We learned in the Mishnah only in Bezdin. So how can we have Shavuos b'kodim, which we're learning from Shuas Aedis, take place according to Rabbanan outside of Bezdin? It must be because Shema Minah B'Dom Minah Minah Pliga. That Rabbanan of the opinion, yes, we're learning Shuas Aedis for Shuas Aedis, but that doesn't require us to take all of the characteristics of Shuas Aedis and put them on Shuas Aedis. And therefore, even though Rabbanan hold that Shuas Aedis only takes place in Bezdin, they could take the concept of Mujman Pi Acherim, put it on Shuas Aedis, and then tell you that it doesn't have to be in Bezdin, because Domino Vukuba Asra. So we see that Rabbanan clearly had the opinion Domino Vukuba Asra. Remeya, who says that we're learning from Shuas Haedis, it has to be all the way, because he holds Domino Mino. So isn't this a clear raya that the Rabbanan and Remeya dispute this concept of Domino Mino, or Domino Vukuba Asra? So the Gemara absolutely correct. In. Correct. May he in. That Mishnah is clearly a proof that that is the subject. But we wanted to say that our Mishnah was the point where we see that they argue about that. We heard from our Mishnah, like a Mishnah Menei, there is no Raya that that's the Machlokes, because our Mishnah could be explained another way with the Kal V'Chomer. We learned in the Mishnah, the Chayovin al-Zodna Shvua, that unlike everywhere else, here by Shvua's Eidus, even B'mezit Yechayiv a carbon. Ask the Gemara, Menani Mili, the Tanar Rabbanim, Kulan Nemar, and all the other places where the Torah speaks about Karban Oil V'Yoyrid, the Torah says the word V'Nelam, V'Kan, regarding Shavuos Eidus, Loin Nemar B'V'Nelam, the Torah doesn't use the word Nelam, to teach us, L'Chai V'Lamezik Yishayigig Mezin, and Shayigig get treated the same way. Then we learned in Mishnah, V'Shigigasim Zodin Ha'Eidus, you also Chai V'Karban Oil V'Yoyrid. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Domi, Shigasim Zodin Ha'Eidus, when a person says, I know that this is Shavuos Asur, I just don't know if there's a chi of carbon, that alone is enough to make it to be considered a shaykh. And as we learned the Gemara the other day, even though we have a machloikis, if shigigas carbon is considered a shaykh, by carbon oil of a yirid, we learned everybody's agreement that shigigas carbon is considered a shaykh. But as we learned in the previous year, if it's a pure case of shagig, you're not chayiv. Says the Gemara, lema, it seems, tanina l'rav kahana dervasi. Loi, afgav the tanan. Lema tanina, ask the Gemara, lema tanina l'rav kahana dervasi, that somebody who thought that he's swearing the truth, he's not chayiv. We learned the other day, just to review, the Gemara spoke about the following situation. Rav Ami and Rav Asi were the Talmidim of Rav. And then after they left the shir, they were arguing what Rav said in the shir. I guess they didn't have a video. So they were arguing what Rav said in the shir. And then when Rav came, he said one was right and one was wrong. And while they were arguing, they both swore, I'm right, and the other one swore, I'm right. And then afterwards, when Rav came and said one is right and one is wrong, so the one that was wrong felt that perhaps he made a false shvua. So Rav said, don't worry about it. You ribcha intzcha. So it says the Gemara, our Mishnah seems to be saying that, because our Mishnah says that if somebody swears that he doesn't know testimony because he really was making a mistake because he forgot that he knows the testimony, he's considered oinus. So ask the Gemara, lema tanina l'rav kahana dervasi. And as the Rishonim explained, part of the Gemara's question is, so then I don't need Rav to teach us that if it's a Mishnah. Says the Gemara Loi, Avgav the Tnan Itzrich. Even though our Mishnah teaches us this halacha, we still need Rav to teach this to Rav Kahana Rav Asi. Sakdat Chmina, Hachod like Sivanelam, in the Pasha Shuas Eidis, where the Torah doesn't use the word Vanelam, the beaten in Shayig Dumya the Mazet. Aval Hossam, regarding there where it's referring to Shuas Beite, the Sivanelam, the Torah does use the word Vanelam. I would think that every Shayig, even in a case where he thought that he was saying the truth, it should not be considered Shuas Beitui. I feel shigasa called who kamash milan that any shaygig is considered a shaygig, a pure shaygig, that you're not chayv carbon oil v'yoyrid, not by shvus aedis and not by shvus bitu.